Church, please join me as we look to God together in prayer. Father, we pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to come, reveal your word and what's on your heart to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do people identify you as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Is it by the cross that you carry or the cross that you wear? Or maybe let me ask the question in another way. Can people identify us as disciple of Jesus Christ by the things that we do and by the words that we say inside the church and outside the church? Interestingly, for the Jews during Nehemiah's time, what identifies them was not their skin color, nor was the language that they spoke, but it was by the place that they came from, Jerusalem. Jerusalem was more than just the physical capital of the Jewish people. Jerusalem was their spiritual center. And everything about them, their family, their children, their faith in God, revolved around Jerusalem. The identity of the Jews were very much connected to Jerusalem. And in chapter 1, we learned that they had lost their political identity when they became exiles after they had rebelled against God. And now with the walls destroyed and the gates broken, Jerusalem became extremely vulnerable to attacks from their enemies. And if the Jews were to lose Jerusalem, they would stand to lose their spiritual identity completely. And for some of us, we may be at the point of losing our spiritual identity, or we may have lost our spiritual identity completely. People could no longer identify us as disciples of Christ, either by the things that we do or by the words that we say inside and outside the church. My dear friends, to have a deeper life in Christ, we need to rebuild our identity in Christ. Firstly, we need to guard against spiritual complacency. Last week, Pastor Chris took us through the first 16 verses of chapter 2, and we saw how Nehemiah took 3 days to inspect the walls and gates of Jerusalem. And after inspecting the state of Jerusalem, the broken walls and the gates, Nehemiah was angry and he rebuked the Jews who were then living in Jerusalem. You see the trouble that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Verse 17. It seems that the Jews whom Nehemiah rebuked were oblivious to the trouble that they are in. And who are these people? In the book of Ezra, we were told that on the 17th year of King Artaxerxes, the king had allowed prophet Ezra to return to Jerusalem with a group of Jews to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem. And 3 years had passed, and living in Jerusalem, surely they must have been able to see day in, day out, the state of the physical ruins, the broken walls, and the gates destroyed. We need to guard against spiritual complacency. What complacency does is it causes us to accept the state of spiritual brokenness that we are in, but do nothing about it. When was the last time we heard the voice of God? When was the last time that we experienced the power of God when we prayed? When was the last time we picked up our Bible and went on our knees to spend time with God? What have we done about all that? You see the trouble that we are in? We realize that there is a crack in our relationship with God, but we chose to do nothing about it. In April and May 2015, two powerful earthquakes hit Nepal, with a magnitude of 7.8 and 7.4 respectively. And the lessons that I took away from the earthquakes was never ignore signs of seismic cracks. An earlier report from seismic scientists was presented to the local authorities. The report read, "Seismic cracks in the city indicate signs of an impending major earthquake." But the people who received the report chose to do nothing about it. More than 9,000 people perished in the two earthquakes. Millions of people were displaced all across the country, and countless buildings were destroyed. I was there when the earthquake hit. It felt like the end of the world. And I lost 30 Anglican church buildings. I lost one of my staff, and I lost 37 church members. Had the report been taken seriously, warning systems could have been set up and put in place in a timely fashion, and the people better prepared for the disaster. Like the Jews, have we too ignored the seismic signs of spiritual cracks in our relationship with Christ? Are we seeing a lack of fervency? Are we seeing a lack of our passion for Christ? Are we seeing spiritual lethargy? And are we becoming less excited and eager about the things of God? Has coming to church become a routine and no more something that you look forward to? If we desire to have a deeper life in Christ, we need to guard against spiritual complacency. And secondly, we need to guard against spiritual pride. In verse 17, Nehemiah challenged the Jews, "Come, let us together build the walls of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision or disgrace." The Jews responded, "Let us rise up and build." And so they strengthened their hands for the work. Verse 18. And chapter 3 gives us a glimpse of those who these people are. They are priests, Levites, temple servants, goldsmiths, perfumer, rulers, and merchants. And although we do not know who the rest of the people are and what they do, what is clear is none have the necessary qualifications to lay bricks and to build walls. Yet, when the Jews were challenged, they responded, "Let us rise up and build." It would appear that they had responded with pride. And we know that spiritual pride is dangerous. It is dangerous because pride causes us to think that we have the ability and the capability of dealing with every life issues and challenges without God. And more precisely, we are saying, "God, I don't need you." We can rebuild the walls. We can do it on our own. We don't need any help. And we certainly do not need God. We need, my dear friends, to guard against this spiritual pride. And thankfully, as we continue with the second part of verse 18, we see that the Jews responded with humility. And so they strengthened their hands. The author wanted us to know that the Jews had geared themselves up and are prepared for the challenges that are ahead of them. And this is a posture of humility, a posture of turning to God. "Lord, you see these hands. They are not perfect. They are not qualified. They are not the hands to rebuild these broken walls. But I am willing. And Lord, if you are willing, please strengthen these hands for the works that you have called me to. To have a deeper life in Christ, we need the humility to confess and to acknowledge the cracks in our relationship with God and the crack in our relationship with one another. The cracks could be unforgiveness after a fractured relationship with our spouse, with our loved ones, with a fellow colleague, or with a brother or sister in Christ. Harsh words were used, and we are hurt. We need to guard against spiritual pride and instead humble ourselves to allow the Master Builder to come into our lives to fix every crack in our relationship with Him and with one another. It is with this kind of humility that Nehemiah confessed that the hand of God was upon him for good, in verse 18. And the words that the king had spoken to him enabled him for the work to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You'll recall that in chapter 1, Nehemiah turned to God with humility in prayer over the situation in Jerusalem. And in chapter 2, God amazingly worked through a pagan king to give Nehemiah the authority to rebuild the walls and to give Nehemiah all the necessary resources to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This is totally unthinkable. As I've explained to you 2 weeks ago, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. A high-ranking officer in the Persian court, his loyalty was supposed to be to his king and to his people. And moreover, for the king to agree to help the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, it was a political and a military suicide for the Persians. And yet God intervened because of the humility of Nehemiah and the people. And this is the promise of God if we too are to come before Him in humility. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, this is God's promise to us. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need to guard against spiritual pride. And thirdly, we need to guard against spiritual oppression. In verse 19, we see the enemies of Israel coming to torment the work of the rebuilding. Doubt and fear, the deception of the devil, will cause you to doubt and to give up. The truth is, the devil doesn't want you to have a deeper life in Christ. You will hear a lot of deceptive voices like, "Don't waste your time. No need to try. You will never be good enough for God." And when you try to establish your daily routine to read the Bible and to spend time to pray, the devil will tempt you in every possible ways to frustrate you and to distract you from God. We need to guard against this spiritual oppression. And there's something that we can learn from Nehemiah when he was confronted by the enemies. Nehemiah responded firmly to the enemies. The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, His servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. The prosperity that Nehemiah refers to here in Hebrew is used to describe how we will gain in ways that we are not able to humanly imagine or comprehend. Because this is the work of God. And in the context of a spiritual relationship with God, this prosperity is about experiencing a deeper intimacy with Christ. It is about a deeper life in Christ, and it is about experiencing God's power in our daily lives. And in the context of our relationship with one another, this prosperity is about the healing of relationships. And it is about a new level of unity in our church. And my dear friends, is this the kind of spiritual experience that you are looking for in this season? A deeper life in Christ. And if this is your desire, I want to invite you now to join me as I lead you in this prayer. Let us pray. Lord, this is our prayer as one body. We are unworthy, but in your mercy and grace, we want to dedicate our entire spirit, soul, and body anew to you this day. We seek to renew our relationship with you, and we offer ourselves to you as the new living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for you, and you alone. And we humbly come before your mercy seat. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died to give us new life with eternal joy and hope, we declare with our lips this day that we belong to you and you alone. Like the prodigal son, we now return home, for you will be our first and only true love. And Lord, rebuild all the cracks in all relationships in our lives, beginning with you and the people you have put in our lives. And we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.